about to embark on a new sugya, which is really the beginning of a two-part sugya. We broke it into two different sugyas, it gets pretty long, but it's really, in a sense, one major topic, and that is the machlokes between sumchas and the chachamim. Whenever we speak about a suffik mamon, that's what we're talking about, the Rebbe Metzia, so we've bumped into the principle of a suffik mamon. What do you do when you have a suffik mamon? So there's an age-old machlokes between sumchas and the rabbanon. What's that take? What's our approach to sakas and mamonis? So the chacham is the position that we are usually familiar with, called the motz mechvel of araya. We know this from day one already. We spoke about asvara, apostle, exercise, whatever the nature of muksak is all about. But a motz mechvel of araya pretty much is a guiding force according to the view of the chacham. And sumchas disagrees. Sumchas has a very, very cryptic statement called mamon amutu besafik chokin, or for our purposes even chokin below shvua, that whenever you have a safik in mamon, or I shouldn't say whenever, but sometimes you have a safik in mamon, so the halacha is not motz mechvel of araya, but rather you split it 50-50 and that's chokin below shvua. So we have to understand really twofold what exactly is going on in this machlokes sumchas and the rabbanon. And the first issue is, what are they arguing about? What's the case exactly? There are so many different possible scenarios of safik mamon. Are they arguing about every suffix mamon under the sun? They're arguing about some suffixes in mamon. So that's the first question you have to ask yourselves. What is the case? What is the nekudas mamon? What is the case of machlokes? And then if and when we're able to figure that out, with some degree of clarity, what exactly they're arguing about, then to figure out, well, why are they arguing? So why is it that the chachamim don't buy into matzach levarai, or at least sometimes, I'm sorry, why does Tzimkos not buy into matzach levarai at least some of the time? So that's really the two parts of the sugya. So what the machlokes of the rabbanon is, and why there's such a machlokes. The fact that Tesha Machlokes exists, that's well documented throughout Shas. We have it in Bavakam, we have it in Bavitsiya. Throughout Shas, we have this idea of Machlokes Tzimkos Nerabanan. They really, if you think about it, if you put your, we'll take a little tour through Shas, so there are actually two major Machlokes between Tzimkos Nerabanan and all Shas. I mean, the Tzimkos comes up in other places also, but there are two major Machlokes. One is Mamun Mut Musafi Chokum Loshua, and the other is the first three blot in the beginning of the second Bechel Bavakamba. What do you do when you have a Nezer called Tsraros? Tsraros means that when an animal steps directly on something and tramples something, that's not called tzaros. That's called nezik of regel, and that's an exerus because of a shilach as beirai. Regel is one of the other nezikim. When an animal walks and doesn't directly damage, but rather kicks up pebbles or causes some other kind of a force to cause a somewhat of an indirect damage, that's what's called kocho. We just call it colloquially tzaros because most of the time it's done through pebbles. That's the illustration of the Mishnah. So there was also machlokes Tzimkos in the Rabbanon. How much do you pay when you have a nezek of tzaros? So the Rabbanon said you pay chatzin nezek, and Tzimkos says you pay nezek shalom. So at first glance, these two machlokes have absolutely nothing to do with each other. Mamish, one's a shalom nechus nezikim, one's a shalom nechus safik and mamon. The mamish have nothing to do with each other. That's at first glance. And the truth is, even at second glance and at third glance, the answer is they have nothing to do with each other. They're just coincidentally two machlokes and Tzimkos in the Rabbanon. So why did I even mention the other one? Because I was talking with my son, Yaakov, the other day. I forgot already how we got into it. We were talking about Tzimkos in the Rabbanon a little bit. So I asked him, so tell me the two machlokes and Tzimkos in the Rabbanon. So the moment of the Musafi you got, the Tzraros, he learned from a count. But once I started to remind him, Tzimkos was all disagreed with Tzraros. So I can say, that was where I thought the conversation would end. Seemingly coincidental machlokes Tzimkos in the Rabbanon. So he turned around and he asked me a question, which I never thought of. I learned Tzimkos in the Rabbanon 20 times here and 20 times in the Rabbanon. I never thought of it. He says, Mi'aba, says, how come when the Rabbanon say that one person gets the whole money, Tzimkos says you split, and when the Rabbanon turn around and say you split the money, namely the case of Tzraros, Tzimkos turns around and says the guy gets the whole amount of money? So he thought that there was some kind of a correlation between that in one case you split it 50-50, and the other case is the Rabbanon will say you split 50-50, and vice versa. So that was like an interesting way of looking at it. I don't think there's any significance to that. Ki who's that? No pun intended. No mud to mix us. But I thought it was just interesting that through the eye of a 14-year-old, so that was his initial reaction to the two machlokes between Tzimkos and the Rabbanon. Interesting. Okay, anyway, getting back to this story. So back out of the eyes of 14-year-olds. And my blast made me feel very old today, because he started talking about people in 45. Said 45, I'm past 45. Because I was talking about midlife crisis at the age of 45. And I said, we're done now. We're past that already. We're in the end of life. Okay, good. Anyway, I'm going to cut that off. Okay, so getting back to that's the problem. So also, the person hears Shiur on YU Torah, a guy sitting in the last listening to Shiur, he doesn't understand the context. Well, for a guy who's sitting in Shiur now, wasn't a Seder, doesn't understand the context. It's the same time that I'm there. Okay, getting back to the story. So, getting back to Tzimkos and Rabbanon. So what are they arguing about exactly? So most of the discussion, the Rishonim, as to what exactly the case of Machlokes Tzimkos and Rabbanon is, revolves around the primary sugya, which is really on Daf Kuf Amud Aleph in Maseches Bava Metzia. So the Mishnah doesn't even quote Sukkot as my name. The Mishnah gives you a tzir, gives you an illustration of a case of Safek Mam. Pretty straightforward case. I'm telling to sell you a cow and you're trying to sell me a donkey. So we know that one of the mechanisms of kinyonim could be a kinyon chalipin. So we're used to a kinyon chalipin in the sense that if I give you like a token handkerchief, we call it kinyon sudr, I give you a handkerchief, and in return for the handkerchief, you give me your whole field, you give me all your chomets, you give me whatever we do use a kinyon chalipin for. I give you a sudr and you obligate yourself to pay your kala $500 million of a tesefek sukkah, whatever. That's what we're used to, a kinyon chalipin. But the emes of kinyon chalipin, the original kinyon chalipin, is what's called chalipin shavah b'shavah, when I'm really being machlif one thing in return for something which is approximately the same amount of value. I need a cow and you need a donkey, and I have two cows, you have two donkeys, so we split, so we switch. So machlif par b'chamor. So the din is that once a person picks up one of the objects, then the other object is nicknamed to the other person, even though you didn't make a ma'aseh kinyon on it. That's exactly the kinyon of chalipin. Good, very nice. So that kinyon of chalipin can create a possible confusion, because we don't really know. We know the moment of kinyon. The moment of kinyon is when one person picks up the object, but the other object is far away from us, and that can lead to some confusion. So in the case of machlif par b'chamor, so I make the kinyon on the chamor, I'm moshech the chamor, I pick up the chamor, and at the moment that I pick up the chamor, so you become the rightful owner of that para. That's wonderful. The only problem is, when you go to pick up the para, so mazel tov, we got a little calf there. Now the question is, well, when was this calf born? When did the para give birth? So that's a big enough kumin ladina. If the para gave birth before the moment of truth, before the moment of the sale, then the calf still belongs to the moicher. I never sold the baby, I only sold the mother. But if the baby was born after the moment of sale, anything that I own that gives birth to, if I own an animal, gives birth to a baby, so that baby obviously is mine. So here we have a machlekes between the two people, the moicher and the kohen. So each one's screaming that it's mine. I'm telling you, actually, macharti yoldim. The other one says, Mishnah lakachti yoldim. Back and forth, what do you do? So zok the Mishnah, yachleku. So it's not shalom hamelach. You don't cut the baby in half. So you sell the baby, whatever it is. You figure out how to do it. You figure out the value, and then you split up the value of the vlad. That's the psak of the Mishnah. So comes the Gemara and questions the Mishnah. Comes the Gemara and says, really? That seems to be a pretty straightforward situation of a suffik mamon. What do you do when you have a suffik mamon? You need above Metziah Daf Kuf. You've been learning about a Bava Kama, 119 blad above a Kama, 100 blad above Metziah. You've been learning Ezekiel for 219 blad already, and you never came across Motzah B'chalev Araya. Correct the Gemara. Just look and see, where is the animal? If this vlad, this is the questionable animal, we have this baby on the table, baby in the barn, we're trying to figure out who's the owner of the baby. Just take a look, where is the baby? If the baby's in the Rishus HaMaicher, then it belongs to the Maicher. So where is the baby? Obviously. Of course, it's in the Rishus HaMaicher. That's how the case is playing out. I'm being kind of the Kari, you're being kind of the Chamor. I made a kinyan on the Chamor. The par is still Bebeis HaMaicher. So the par is still in the barn of the Maicher. So that's called Rishus HaMaicher. So now this is a Safek in Mominus, a Momin Mutl B'Safek with a Mukhsuk. So says the Gemara, what's the Mishnah talking about? What does the Mishnah mean? That's Yachleikum. It's not Yachleikum. You should follow Mukhsuk. So Gemara says, no, you got it all wrong. There's no Mukhsuk. Why is there no Mukhsuk? The Omer is Ba'agam. Because it happens to be that this cow right now is grazing. Cows don't like to stay in the barn all the time. There's not enough food in the barn. So the cow's out there in the middle of pasture somewhere. It's not in anybody's field. It's out in the middle of in no man's land. So we don't have a muksuk. So the Gemara says, Baruch Hashem, we can breathe a sigh of relief. Well, Baruch Hashem, there's no muksuk. So therefore, there's moment of mutl b'safek. What are you talking about? So there's no muksuk. Big deal, there's no muksuk. But there's a cheskes marakama. Those who learned from the Bas will well remember this term. We spoke about it this year as well. Even in a situation where you don't have a mukhsuk, you don't have somebody who's mukhsuk right now, but if there's somebody who used to be a mukhsuk, someone who used to own the object, even though right now it's not tachas yadam, literally in the physical sense, that's called the cheskes marakama. How that works, why that works, another time, another place. The end of the sugya. But cheskes marakama for sure exists. That's the ABCs of cheskes about them. That cheskes marakama is next in line to mukhsuk. So we just exhausted the possibility of mukhsuk because it's omedes b'yavam. So we should fall back on Chesed Marakama. So the Mishnah still doesn't make any sense. Why does the Mishnah say Yechleiku? What happened to Chesed Marakama? So all of a sudden the Gemara discovers a miracle. All of a sudden Baruch Abu enters out from the Sugis of Tzoros. Who comes to the rescue? Sumchus. Says the Gemara, how many Sumchus? this Mishnah, the only way to explain Pshat of this Mishnah is to attribute it to Simchus, and Simchus is the one who said Mamun Mut Musafi Chalpin. So that was the Hishtalshas that had the Varm in the Gemara. So the Gemara started out, first attempt in the Gemara was, why don't we follow Muchsok? The Gemara says, nah, there's no Muchsok. Then the Gemara said, let's follow Cheskes Marakama. So the Gemara said, oh, the only way to answer that question is Hamani Simchus. Ad kan Tevi HaGemara. So comes Taisus and quotes from the Rashbam. Okay? Who's the Rashbam's father? Rabbeinu Meir. Who's Rabbeinu Meir? Rashi's son-in-law. Okay? How do we know that? My kids were watching the Rashi video last night. They told them that's it. They can't watch anymore. They can't watch anymore these ridiculous videos anymore. Time to watch some educational videos. So they're watching the Rashi video. So there's a Rabbi Wine put out a Rashi video. We'll see how long it lasts. They can, maybe like tonight we'll be watching the silly stuff again. So it said about Rashi's daughter married Rabbi Meir. So I stopped the video right there. And I said, who was Rabbi Meir's son? They didn't know what I said. I said, Rabbeinu Tam. And who was the other son? It was Rabbeinu Shmuel. Well, there's the third one also. So the Rashbam was the grandson, the Hilger Rashi. So comes the Rashbam, quoted by Taisus on the spot, Kufa Menachem Metzia, and the Rashbam says, hey, wait a second. He says, when the Gemara comes to answer number three, Sumchus, the Gemara never said the magic word, what? Ella. Ella is a word that's used in stylistic in the Gemara to mean that everything we just said until now was wrong. Ella means what I just told you, threw out the window. Ella, the following is true. The Gemara doesn't have that word Ella, or at least the Rashbam didn't have that word Ella. Therefore, the Rashbam says, the lack of the word Ella indicates to us that the Gemara is not making an about-face to what it said. The Gemara is just merely touching up the previous answer. In other words, says the Rashbam, the Mishnah is not talking about Muksuk. Notwithstanding the fact that it's Hamani Sumkusi, the Mishnah is not talking about Muksuk. The Gemara never meant to retract from that statement. Muksuk is out to lunch. Muksuk is gone. Finished, it's Omedes B'Agam. All the Gemara meant to say was, Cheskes Marakama is not going to solve the whole problem because there are button hole that you follow Cheskes Marakama. Sumchus, Baruch Abu Hikam Sumchus, who says, I disagree with the Rabbanan in a case of Cheskes Marakama. But in a case of Muksuk, Chalila v'chalila says Sumchus. Why would Sumchus disagree with Muksuk? You think Sumchus never heard of Motzvech Leveraya? So comes Rashbam and says, in one fell swoop, but this Gemara, the lack of a word, I mean, what a deal. The Rashbam is learning from one word that doesn't exist in the Gemara. From the fact that the Gemara didn't back out by saying the magic word Ella, therefore we derive from here that Liyatsuya would have been a case of Muksuk. Sumchus would have agreed to the Rabbanim. Sumchus also accepts the Motzmech Levaraya. Can anybody disagree with Motzmech Levaraya? It's ridiculous. Can anybody disagree with Motzmech Levaraya? Sumchus only disagreed with the second Chiddush of the Rabbanan, namely the Chiddush of Cheskes Marakama. That Sumchus says, I beg to differ. So now, according to the Rashbam, if you want to know what's the Machlaikis, what's the case? I don't want a beer yet. What's the case of the Machlaikis Sumchus and the Rabbanan? The Machlaikis is, if you have a Suffolk Mamon, all you have to go on is Cheskes Marakama. The Rabbanan would say, so follow Cheskes Marakama. And Simchus would say, no, that's called the Mamun Mutl B'Safek. So it comes out according to the Rashbam. At least we have a case, we have an illustration, that they're only, we don't know why yet, but they're only arguing about a case of Ches Merkam. But a case of Muksuk, it's open and shut. Says the Rashbam, according to all days on the table. But in Simchus, you name it, every town in the world, every person in the world holds Hamayt Simchel Elvarai in a case of Muksuk. Ad kan divrei Rashbam. Sounds gavaldik. Rashbam built it based on Agamar. I mean, based on Kafku. Lack of the word Ella. Comes the world and crashes in on the Rashbam. Comes Taisus and says, really? But the Rashbam just developed the principle that Sumchus accepts Muksuk. Sumchus would never ever say Mamun Mutl B'Safek by Muksuk. Sumchus also buys into Muksuk. Is that true, says Taisus? I beg to differ. There are sugyas and shas that present Sumchus in the Rabbanan, notwithstanding the fact that they're talking about cases of Muksuk. And says, I'll show you a few. So Taisa starts going to fishing. So gives you a little tour through Shas. Kedar Kodesh, they start off with Bavakam and Afnimbov. One of the many places where the Gemara speaks about Sumchus in the Rabbanan explicitly. It all starts with the Mishnah again. It's interesting. Every case, somebody asked me today whether Sumchus appears in the Mishnah anywhere. What's the answer? Not to the best of my knowledge. I don't think Sumchus appears. His Shita, does it appear anywhere? I don't think so. It's always some Mishnah that says Yechleik, which is the Gemara says, Hamani Sumchusi. Comes the Mishnah Baba Kamat up and above. It's talking about the following scenario. Sure, Shinog Shapora, The nimtza ubra betzida. Well, wild case. That there's wild bulls, well, crazy ox running around, and a gur is a para, gur is a cow. It happens to be a short time. Let's just make things a little bit more complicated. It happens to be a short time, first time, okay? You're only going to pay chatzin nezek. Lo and behold, we realized upon investigating this poor para that's now dead, we noticed that there's a baby there also that's also dead. This baby has been killed also at some point. And the question now, the latest asafik, no pun intended, that we have is, well, when exactly did this damage happen? Who exactly was the cause of the death of this vlad? Was the death of this vlad brought about from the negicha itself? Was it brought about from the goring? Which would of course mean that the mazik, the owner of the shor mazik, would have to pay not only chatzin nezek for the mother, would have to pay chatzin nezek for the potential baby also. Would you say no? Maybe this mother miscarried long before. Maybe the baby was dead way before the shor entered onto the scene. We can't pin the blame on the shor. So obviously, the mazik is going to claim one way, the nizik is going to claim another way. So they're fighting it out. How's anyone going to ruach a kedush? We're going to figure out. Go do an ultrasound. Go do an autopsy on the baby. Go figure out when. We're not going to figure it out. So we don't know what to do. So the Mishnah throws its hands up. What does the Mishnah say? So the Mishnah says, well, vis-a-vis the para, obviously, how much does the shor mazik, the owner of the shor mazik, have to pay? The bayim of the shor tam has to pay how much? Chatzi, right? That's no question, because that's not mitam sofik. That's mitam. The Torah says the chatz was kas. We only pay chatzi nezek. And mitam, and how much you have to pay for the vlad? So now we're in a pickle, because if we knew for a fact that the shor mazik was responsible for the death of the baby, you'd have to pay chatzi nezek. If we knew for a fact that he wasn't responsible, we'd pay nothing. What's the answer? Now what are you going to do? Split it. So we got higher fractions, everybody. Say half of a half is a what? Is a quarter. Good, very good, excellent. Okay. So mishalim chatzi nezek leparav, revia nezek levlad. So state in the Mishnah. Very nice, beautiful. Comes the Gemara and says, right on the Mishnah, what does the Gemara say? Hamani what? Hamani sumchasi of a rabbanan omrim hamatzach ve'el averayu. Comes the Gemara and says, this Mishnah that says chatzi nezek, yeah, this is sumchas. This is sumchas from b'metzia davkuf. But the rabbanan would have to disagree. The rabbanan would say it's a matzach ve'el averayu. And therefore, you would not pay anything for the vlad. Half for the para for sure. You don't pay. You pay zero for the vlad. Ad kan divrei Gemara. So Tanaim Taisin says, let's identify this case. This case of shoshnagas para. So I want to know, says Taisin, is this a case of muchzok, or is this a case of cheskes marakama? What kind of a claim, in a sense, does the mazik have? Right, the mazik who were trying to get money away from him, what kind of a claim does he have exactly? Is he a muhsuk or is he a marakama? What's the answer? But what's the din Torah revolving around? The din Torah is revolving obviously about the death of the baby, but what's it going to boil down to in Beis Din? It's going to boil down to putting my hand into my wallet, taking out money and paying for the damage. So the nizik claims, you owe me X amount of money, you got $100 in your wallet, that's my $100. What's the mazik saying? I got $100 in my wallet, and it's my $100. So the machlokes, the mazik, and the nizik, it's true that it's emanating from the death of the shor, but the bottom line is, it's going to play out lemaisa in terms of how much money am I going to actually take out of my wallet to pay you. So is the mazik a muhsak on his money, or is the mazik a cheskes markam on his money? What's the answer? Pretty obvious. You can't get more muhsak than that. The wallet's in my pocket. So that's the case, that the mazik is a muhsuf on his money. So wait a second. Comes Tyson and says, according to you, the Rashbam, who claims that sumchas also accepts muhsuf, sumchas never said his shita. He never disagreed with the Rabban by case of muhsuf. He only disagreed in the case of marakama. So then why is sumchas saying what he's saying in the Mishnah? The Mishnah says, Mishalim chatzi nezek leparav, reveal nezek levlad. What do you mean reveal nezek? Reveal nezek is saying, Chokin, that's tempted about the saying, Mamun Mutu Masafi Chokin. What do you mean, Mamun Mutu Masafi Chokin? He's a muksok. The Mahasik is a muksok. When the Mahasik is a muksok, a real McCord muksok, even Sumkus concedes to the Rabbanon. So says Taizel Chayesif Mia that the Rashbam is not correct. Rashbam built a whole Shikul Torah based on a lack of a word Ella in Bamatziah Davkuf, but he's contradicted outright by the Sugya in the beginning of the fifth paragraph of Bamakama. The Gemara says, Pem Olay. The Gemara applies the Machalik Yisumkus and the Rabbanon, notwithstanding the fact that it is a classic Muslim. So Taisa says the Rashbam is really, really not water. comes to us and says we could possibly salvage the Rashba. Possibly. But we need a lot of work in Rav Kama in order to possibly salvage the Rashba. Says Taisus, I may have gone a little bit overboard, a little over-dramatization, when I said to you, where does the case revolve? What's the bottom line? Bottom line revolves around the money in my pocket. Now, that is true 99% of the time in case of Nezikin. If we have a suffix, whether my animal ate up your fruit, the suffix can revolve around the money in my pocket. If we have a suffix, whether I punched you in the nose, I broke your arm or something, the suffix can revolve around the money in my pocket. The only possible exception to this rule may be in this particular case. We may be saved by the bell. What is unique about this case? Why is this case different? Manishtan in this case, more other cases. It happens to be a short tam. Short tam? Why is short tam any different? Well, we know short tam pays chatzi nezek, but why does it make any different? So this revolves around the fundamental question, the question that permeates the second half of the third parak of Bava Kamma. And that's the famous machlokes Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel, how to understand the payment Torah requires of us in a situation of a short tam. Short tam is a very, very strange thing for two reasons. First of all, it hasn't gored more than three times. So the Torah says two very, very strange things about the payment of short tam. One is that you pay chatzi nezek. That in and of itself would have been enough to blow us away. That half nezek. So that's chiddush number one. But the Torah doesn't even stop there. What does the Torah Kedesh say? You pay what's called migufo. The last mission, the first book of Bava Kamma says, in contrast to all other nezikin, where you pay from your property. If I burnt down your house, you come and you take away my field. If I broke your arm, you come and you take away my field. If my animal ate your fruit, you come and you take away my field. You always pay, either karka, matalka, meita, whatever the details of tashlumin of nizik are. But short time is the yetzim in a klal. Short time, you only pay me gufo. You pay only up to the value of the shor hamazik. And what if you have a shor hamazik which was only worth $5 and it did some kind of a nezek which was $1,000? You will not pay one penny more than $5. That's it. So a short time never pays more than the value of the short time itself. Zeir sakosu, posir chumash. U'machras asher achai, v'chotzvas kaspay. The Torah describes that you sell off the short time, you find out how much it was worth, and you only pay up to that value. You don't pay one fruit more than the value of the short time. So there are two unbelievable chidushim, two coolest gedolos that differentiate the nezek of short time from any other nezek under the sun. Number one, you only pay chatzin nezek. Number two, you only pay migufa. So come to Eilu Getanoim, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Shmuel, and begin to raise a question. How do we understand the nature of this halacha that you pay migufa? A very, very strange halacha. If I caused you damage, okay, you want to tell me you pay half damage, right? So it's Rachman or something. Okay, that I can half accept. But to say you only pay migufa, what's pshat? What does that mean? What's the nature of that din? You only pay migufa. So come to Tanoim and had a major machlokes how to understand the halacha. Come to Rabbi Akiva and says a startling thing. Come to Rabbi Akiva and says, when a short kam is mazik, what happens is a magic. The Torah says that short kam, which used to belong to the mazik, now belongs to who? To both the mazik and the nizik. The Torah takes the short time out of the rishus of the mazik and transfers it, not completely, partially, up to the amount of how much? Of chatzi nezek. Up to the amount of chatzi nezek, the Torah gives a shutfis to the nizik in the shor itself. Comes to Akiva and says, that's the parish of tashlum and rishus tam. Short time is radically, fundamentally different than all other mazikin in the Torah. That's the chiddush of Torah. Machros asher achayim. When the Torah says you take the asher achayim and you sell it and you split the money, what the Torah means to say is that the shor hamazik now belongs partially to the shor to the mazik and partially to the nizik. The nizik is a shutuf in the short time. That's Rabbi Kiva's version of what's going on in short time. Rabbi Yishmael, lo hayu dvar miyad, Dr. Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Shmuel says, they're not shutfei shavir chamana, bal chayiv shavir chamana. Says Rabbi Shmuel, shortam is not conceptually any different than any other mazik. The nizik doesn't own my shore. What kind of crazy story is that? If my animal eats your carrots, you own my animal? No. You have a chayiv against me. So too, Zavt Rabbi Shmuel, you have a chayiv against me. It's a chiddush atayra that this chov is only collectible for half the amount.
And it's a chiddush haTorah that this chob is only collectible up to the value of the shor. But bottom line, sof kol sof, push comes to shove, is still a regular chayv. So machlekes Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel, how to understand these strange halachas a short time, that you only pay megufo. Rabbi Akiva saw on the din of tashlum megufo something radically different, something fundamentally different. It's a radically different type of a tashlum. It's not a chiyav mamon, it's not a chiyav bal chayv anymore. I'm not chayv to pay you money. Rather, the Torah took the shor and put it into your rishus. And according to Rabbi Shmuel, there never was such a transformation of ownership. It's just a plain, simple chayv. That's it. That's all there is right now. Machlekes Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel. If I'd ask you for a simple nafkamina ladina, just without knowing anything else about Baba Kama, my nafkamina ladina, whether the nizak is a shutaf or not. Chab, an interesting nafkamina, does the nizak have any koach in this animal? What if the nizak goes out and is machtish to the animal? Does that mean anything? What if the nizak goes out and is mafkir the animal? He sells the animal. Does that have any validity at all? According to Rabbi Shmuel, that's a joke. According to Rabbi Shmuel, it's not his. He has no shaykhs to the animal. It's not his animal. According to Rabbi Akiva, we have to begin to discuss. That's like a shut of being machtish. That's a whole sugya in of itself. So we're in for business, according to Rabbi Akiva. It's a whole different type of an ownership vis-a-vis this animal. Anyone knows anything about nafkaminas? Anyone learn Baba Kama, the fourth parak?
Yeah. Oh,
you mean the famous sugya in the beginning of the fourth parak? Shoshanov Adal Behei. The animal, a short time, damages Reuven. And then it goes in and damages Shimon. It goes in and damages Levi. So who's responsible for those subsequent damages? So according to Rabbi Shmuel, who's responsible? The owner of the animal is responsible, which is the original Mazik. According to Rabbi Akiva, who's responsible? Both of them are responsible. So it comes out of Mundi thing, according to Rabbi Akiva. If it gores 15 times, so then we start being owner. We're partners, and then there's another partner, and the business keeps on splitting up. We got this one animal owns like 15 different people. So that's the first sugi in the fourth parak of Baba Kama. So why did I ask you those two nafkaminas? What? Yeah, how do you remember that? Okay. That was my bechina on Baba Kama. Part of my bechina on Baba Kama. When I learned the first couple of parak of Baba Kama, so one of my rabbeim, he wanted to see whether I knew anything about Baba Kama. So one of the questions that he asked me was, so tell me, what's the machlokes Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel about Shoratam? So I told him. So he said to me, so what's the nafkamina? So I started telling him for 20 minutes about the beginning of Shoshanov at Al Behei. One shor goes, another shor goes, another shor goes, another shor goes, another shor goes. So he looks me straight in the face. He says, why don't you just tell me the simple nafkamina, namely Higdisho Nizakik Benayo, that the Gemara says, what are you telling me the whole story for the first two blah and the fourth bar? I said, okay, Idi Shlomo Higdisho Nizakik Benayo. Okay, fine. So I passed. Anyway, so Rabbi Sai, getting back to the story. So comes Taisus and says, this machlekes Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel may become helpful over here. How is it going to become helpful over here? Because, at least according to Rabbi Akiva, we could maneuver out of Muchsak. What made the beginning of the fifth parak of Baba Kama so obviously Muchsak that Taisus was willing to reject the Rashbam outright? Because the din Torah is on the money, the din Torah is on the cash in the pocket. If the din Torah is on the cash in the pocket, so then the Mazak is Muchsak on the cash, and that's a problem according to the Rashbam, because then Simchas is irrelevant. Simchas wouldn't apply when there's a real Muchsak. Says Taisus, no. According to Rabbi Ishmael, Yitzhak, right, it's a din Torah on cash. But according to Rabbi Akiva, it's not a din Torah on cash. According to Rabbi Akiva, what's it a din Torah on? It really boils down to it's a din Torah on who owns this animal now. The Mazik claims, well, this animal never damaged your Vlad. So vis-a-vis the Vlad, you don't have a share in this animal. And the Nizah claims, no, your animal did damage the Vlad, and therefore vis-a-vis the Vlad, I do have a share in the animal. So what they're really arguing about is not dollars and cents, some abstract chayv, some dollar bills that's sitting in the Mazik's wallet, which is Muksach. What they're really arguing about is ownership. How many molecules of animal do I have? How much of a bailus on the shortam do I have? Why does that make things better? Because that's very simple. Once you're willing to take it out of the realm of dollar bills in the Mazik's pocket and move it into the cells of the animal, so we just have to move the animal one place. Where is that? Put it where? Put it out lagam. Send it out to the pasture, like its friend in Bar Mitzvah Davkuf. Just send it out of the Rishus of the Mazik. Once it's sitting in the middle of the street, once it's sitting out in the pasture, so now we have a classic scenario of a Mamon Amut B'Safik. There is no Muchsik anymore. And what is there? At best, there is what? This class is more common because the animal used to belong to the Mazik. Before this whole event took place, it used to belong completely to the Mazik. So the Mazik has a Chesed Marakama. Thank you very much. That's exactly what Simchus disagrees with. Simchus says, I don't accept Chesed Marakama. I hold that's called the Mamon Amut B'Safik. So, wow, this is a godless. I mean, come on, you saw the sugya, you saw this coming. I wouldn't have figured it out in a million years. But Taisa said, according to Rabbi Akiva, we're willing to negotiate. We're willing to do business with you, says Rabbi Akiva. Because according to Rabbi Akiva, that the din Torah is not revolving around cash and pachets, it's revolving around sales of animals. So you just move the animal out of Mukhsaf and call it a day, call it a chesed merakam, and sukkos nerabban and come back to life. But Taisa concedes that according to Rabbi Shmuel, there's no way to budge. Because if it's back in the Rishus of the Mocher,
but if he has
yeah, but the part that he owns that we're willing to concede, but there's part of it that he doesn't, part of it that's up for grabs. So again, it's a conceptual part. We don't know, vis-a-vis the damage of the power, he owns half of it. Vis-a-vis the damage of the vlad, we have a latest of suffix. But where is the animal? The animal's sitting in my barn. So I'm a muksuk on that part of the animal. So I should win the din Torah, according to Rishma. So that's the best that Taisus can do for us. They gave us a little bit of an in. Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Shmuel, okay, not bad. We passed like Rabbi Akiva, okay, not bad. Comes the Rashba and Baba Kama says, I'm going to outdo Taisus. Comes the Rashba and says, I'm going to explain away that even according to Rabbi Shmuel, you're okay. You know why? Because we didn't really explain Rabbi Shmuel properly when we started off this, okay, deliberately left out a point. The Rashba and Baba Kama. I put it in the Baba Kama, no? Comes the Gemara and Baba Kama and says, what is the relationship, according to Rabbi Shmuel, between the Nizuk and the Shur HaMazik? So the way I depicted it before, the relationship is absolutely nothing. I mean, the Nizuk has a chov. He's got, he has a shtar that says to the Mazik, you owe me $1,000. Where are you going to pay him from? Loch Batin. You got to come up with the cash. I don't have a chov more than the value of the Shur HaMazik. That's true. But do I have a claim? Do I have any connection cues after the Shur HaMazik? Zippo, zilch. That's what we thought according to Rabbi Shmuel. We thought the way because we didn't read the Gemara, but come carefully. The Gemara says in Baba Kama at the end of the third paragraph that even according to Rabbi Shmuel, there is some shaychus that the Nizik has. There is some kind of a relationship the Nizik has to the Shur HaMazik. It's not the relationship of Bailus, it's not Shufis. It's something else. What's it called? I don't remember. It's called the Shibud, but even better than a Shibud. It's called the Apoitiki Mefurash. Apoitiki means, the Gemara says, a combination of three words, Apote Koi. Namely, that I have absolute rights to collect from this object itself. A mortgage. I'm gonna foreclose your ox. If you don't pay me, I'm gonna take that ox. Now normally when I borrow $1,000 from you, I gotta pay you. So you can go after this property, that property, the other property. If I sell one piece of property, you go after another piece of property. They're not linked, they're not tied down to any particular property. But every once in a while, if the Malvin Lova decide to set up a deal where they're miyached one piece of property, and say, this is where the chov is going to be paid off from. So that's what's called an apaitig, the furush. And that's going to give a significantly greater ability to collect to the malva. So here comes the Gemara and says, even according to Rabbi Shmuel, who laughed and said, these are not shutfin, come on, Rabbi Kiva, this is not shutfin, it's just balchayv, but it's not just a regular balchayv. It's about chov plus. It's about chov with the rights of collection of this chov, dafka from the animal itself. Therefore, the Gemara says, what would the din be? Forget about this wild case of a common law, a regular case. My short tom grows your animal, and I go ahead and I sell my short tom. I sell it to somebody else. So normally, I sell it, so you go collect from somewhere else. No, what does the Gemara say? You can take from the lekuchos. You have a right to collect that animal itself. That's where your chayv is. Look, your chayv is in that animal itself. It's an apoytiki. It's more than just a regular bal chayv. It's an apoytiki. It's not bailus. It's not shutfis of Rabbi Akiva. That it's not, but an apoytiki it is. Kumta Rashman says, Abba Zoi, that it's an apoytiki, that what's the din Torah on? Is the din Torah on cash and pockets? What's the answer? Not really. The din Torah is on the animal itself. Now it's true, if the mazik decides to pay off cash, then the leivis can't demand the animal. He's not a shut, he's not a bailim. So the mazik does have a right to pay cash, but if the mazik doesn't pay the cash, then the nizik can go right after that animal, even against the koyach of lekuchos. So comes the Rashba and says, that koyach, that relationship between the nizik and the shur hamazik is enough to create a different type of din Torah. It's not a din Torah in cash anymore. It's a din Torah basically on rights of an animal. I don't want to use the word ownership. That's a bad word according to Rabbi Shmuel. Rights of collection. According to Rabbi Shmuel, Zoch de Rashba, Since the Din Torah is fundamentally focusing on the rights of collection, that relationship with Apoitegi, so we have to ask ourselves, where is the Apoitegi sitting? Where do we stick the Apoitegi? Send it out where? With its friends from Metzir Daf Kuf once again. Send it out to the pasture, send it out to the Yagam, and lo and behold, there's no what? There's no Muxuk. So what Taisus was willing to do within Rabbi Akiva, the Rashba stretched, pushed the envelope one step further and was willing to do even according to Rabbi Shmuel. So you have an interesting machlokes, the Rashba and Taisus. It's really a kind of machlokes. What the relationship of Rabbi Shmuel's animal is all about. Is it enough to label it as the latest asafik of Muxuk or not? It's an interesting machlokes. But for our purposes, either we have Taisus or we have the Rashba, we can breathe a little bit of a sigh of relief for the Rashbam. The Rashbam can relax for a moment. And the Rashbam could say, okay, we've just changed the Din Torah Membav, which we thought was Muxach, which we was about to do in the Rashbam. We just transformed it from Muxach into the Ram Chazal Marakama. Either we committed the Mishnah Dafka Kont Rabbi Akiva, or we were able to finagle it Kont Rabbi Shmuel. But Lamaisa, we solved the problem. So the Rashbam's got a buy on that one. Comes the next round. Comes Taiz and says, we'll go backwards in Bava Kama. We go back to Lamed Hamad Beis and Mavkam, the end of the third pair. Mishnah starts Lamed Hamad Aleph, onto Lamed Hamad Beis. Shosha Redifach Chaveiroi. My ox is running after your ox. And nobody sees what happens. Nobody saw, and all of a sudden, 10 minutes later, what do we find? We find a dead ox. An ox laying on the floor dead. And we don't know what happened. So now, comes the Nizik and says, Shurach Hizik, you a Mazik, my sure. What does the Mazik say? Like Yellow Basilaloka tripped on a stone. It fell, killed itself, broke its leg, whatever it was. Not my fault. Either the animal died, the animal's broken, it doesn't really matter what happened. Bottom line is, we can't pinpoint what happened. Was the death or the damage to the shore, it doesn't really matter. Who was it caused by? Was it caused by the mazik? Was it just a klutzy shohanizik? What's the din? What do you do? What does the Mishnah say? What does the Mishnah say? Hamayitze mechavei alav araya. If you think you're going to get any money out of the mazik, forget about it. You're hamayitze mechavei alav araya. Go prove. The mazik is a tanit. It's your word against his. No video cameras. Your word against his. Comes the Gemara and says, aha, Zay say meres. From this Mishnah, Baruch Hashem, for this Mishnah, Zay say meres what? Famous statement of the Gemara, Zay say meres, chalukin alav chaveir val sumchus. From here we discovered that the chachamim, the chaveirim, the colleagues of sumchus disagree with sumchus. We're finally able to pin down a Mishnah that disagrees with sumchus. There's some Mishnah is for sumchus. And it's Yidav Kuf, and the Bavakam, and the Bav. Finally, Baruch Hashem, Laman Hamad Beis, and Bavakam, we dug up a Mishnah, Zei Sei Meres, Chul Tumah Chaver Val Sumchus. Comes Taisus and says, well, you don't see anything in this Mishnah. What do you see in this Mishnah? Zei Sei Meres, this Mishnah is conclusive evidence that somebody argues with Sumchus? What's this Mishnah talking about? This is plain old what? Plain old thousand cents wallet, dollar bills in the wallet. So this is Muxuk. If the Rashbam is right that Sumchus agrees to the Rabbanu by Muxuk, how do you see anything with this Mishnah? We discovered this is the best you could do to find that somebody disagrees with Sumchus. Sumchus himself disagrees with Sumchus. Sumchus himself holds is Maidat al Chachamim, that Mazik al Avarayah. How do you see anything the Chachamim disagree with Sumchus? Maybe they all agree to Sumchus by Chesed Markam, they disagree by Muxuk, but Sumchus himself disagrees with himself by Muxuk. So how do you see anything? So Taisa starts to pull the same stunts as before. Well, maybe the Mishnah's talking about it's not real Muxuk, maybe it's this, maybe it's that, maybe it's the other thing. So Taisa throws his hand and says, come on. You're going to build the Zayse Meres on that? Zayse Meres means that this Mishnah is ironclad proof. There's no way out of this Mishnah. If you're going to tell me a story that there's a way to be Zaycha the Mishnah, that the Mishnah's following Rabbi Shmuel, or the Mishnah's talking about that it's not the Agam, If there's any way whatsoever to establish the Mishnah is talking about a case of Muxuk, so then how do you see Zosim Chaver al Sumchus? So you can't give me your Kimtas anymore for this Mishnah. Your Kimtas are done, they're finished. So comes to and says, this Mishnah is convinced. It's not the Mishnah, it's the Gemara. It's the Gemara's commitment to say, Zosim Chaver al Sumchus, which proves beyond a shadow of a doubt that Sumchus has to take on the Rabbanan across the board, even by a case of Muxuk. becomes a Shita Bekubetzes and quotes the name of the Ra'ah. This Mishnah is also not convincing. Maybe the Mishnah is talking about the Mishnah didn't want to give a case of Agam, didn't want to limit itself to one case or the other case. The Mishnah is talking about all cases, whether it's an Agam, whether it's an Abayas, under all circumstances. Motzach Levarai, oh, Zaysameris, Chaver Valsumkus. But you want to know, Lu Yitzu, the Mishnah was really, really talking about Mukhsuk? Sumkus would agree to the Rabbanim. So the Mishnah didn't want to put itself, the Gemara didn't want to put the Mishnah to the corner. The Mishnah is only talking about a case of a bias. The Mishnah stopped, didn't say where the animal is. So the Mishnah Kenzan is talking about Omeres Be'agam. So since the Mishnah could be talking about Omeres Be'agam, and still the Mishnah says Mosach Levaraya, from here we see that somebody disagrees. The Rabbanim disagree with Sumkus sometimes. The Rashbam's really, really getting out. He got out of the first kasha, and they're all just saving from the second kasha. But comes Tosis and says, we can't save him anything. We love the Hilgi Rashbam, but we have a really, really serious problem. That's the sugi in the 8th parak of Bava Metzia. So jumping back to this body of Tosis, Mamash running the gamut. 119 blot Bava Kam, 119 blot Bava Metzia. They're jumping back and forth, and they're showing every case. So can you imagine? This is before Daphim were had numbers on them. So he's just sitting there with these big scrolls and just scrolling back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. Not like our little scrolls. And the scrolls are here. They're trying to fit in on one Gemara, another Gemara. Wait a second. Did you find this? Simcha said this over here. Then you have to shuffle 400 pages to get to roll the scroll. It's going from Bracious to Zaysa Bracha. Hey, wait a second. Simcha said something over there. And they don't give up, Tosis. They don't give up. They lost the first round and now they're potentially losing the second round. They don't give up. Says Tosis, the Rashbam is not right. The Ra'ah says that the Gemara didn't want to commit the Mishnah dafka to one case. The Mishnah stops. So the Mishnah's talking about whether it's Omeres Be'agam, whether it's Omeres Be'bayis, everywhere. So since in a case of Agam, the Sumchus for sure holds a Shita, and the Mishnah says Mosach Levaraya, you see that the Chum definitely disagree with Sumchus somewhere. Yeah, it's a short, but it's still Shotam, back to the old Bekimta. So comes Tosis finally and says, listen, Ad Kan V'lo Yoseh, there's a Mishnah in the 8th Perek of Metzia where I lent you an animal and I rented you an animal. You're two animals. Okay? One I lent you and one I rented you. And now one of them dies. And we can't tell which is which. All animals, to me, they all look the same. Maybe all people look the same to the animals, but all the animals look the same to me. So I can't tell which is which. So now the Mashal and the Shol are going at it. So the marshal says, it's the she'ela that died, and therefore you have to pay me, it's unsin. And what does the soches shol say? It's the wrong animal, it's the schura that died, and therefore I don't have to pay him, and the seichas patvin unsin. So they're fighting back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. What does the Mishnah say? What does it say? What? It says, yech leikim. And what does the Gemara say? Who's the author of the Mishnah? Sumchus. Is this Muksuk? What's the Din Torah on? I don't care what the animal died. What's the Din Torah on? The animal's not the player anymore. What's the Din Torah on? Money in pocket. The marshal / masker is saying, you owe me $100. The other guy's saying, I don't owe you $100. I owe you nothing. So we're having a Din Torah on dollar bills in a person's pocket, a Muksuk in the money, and still Sumchus appears and says, Chokin. So Tai says, that's it. I can't believe it. Tosis says there's no way to save the Rashbam anymore. That's it. What the Rashbam did with this Gemara, I don't know. Here comes the Ri, who is also related to the Rashbam. How is he related to the Rashbam? Same as related to Rabbeinu Tam. He was Rabbeinu Tam's nephew. So he was the Rashbam, and Rabbeinu Tam had a sister. So that sister's son was the Ri. So comes the Ri and says, we have to reject the Rashbam, but not entirely. There is an element of truth to what the Rashbam told us. It's relevant for us also, says the Rebbe. But it goes back to that magic word Elo that doesn't exist. The Rebbe says the Rashbam was right. The Gears of the Rashbam was correct. We're not arguing with that. There'll be other Rishonim can argue with that a little bit later. But the Rebbe says the Rashbam's Gears was correct. We pulled our scrolls, no word Elo. So that's it. Not on the side, not on top, not on the bottom. No word Elo there. So therefore, the Rashbam is correct that the Gemara didn't retract entirely when it said Hamani Sukkasi. The Gemara didn't go all the way back to Muksuk. But why not? Why didn't the Gemara go all the way back to Muchsik? If the Regis proved beyond the shadow of a doubt that Sumchas disagrees, Beba Muchsik, Beba Chesim Rakam, so Taka, why isn't the word Ella? So says the Re, because if you look carefully in Bav Metzia Dav Kuf, you'll notice that there's a Machloikis Amaroim within the Machloikis Sumchas and the Rabbanan. To what strength is each of the Bali Dinim presenting Diklan? A fundamental machlekes amaroyim is the machlekes, whatever the case is, I don't know what it's Muxa, but I don't know what the case is yet. But whatever you want to call the case of Sumchus Nirabanan, to what degree is each of the Bali Dinim tied in? So according to one day in the Gemara, it's only b'shema b'shema. Only, I don't know when the animal died, and the other guy says, I don't know either. I don't know, did the Vlad die now? I don't know if the Vlad died. I don't know when the baby was born. I don't know when the baby was born. Everyone's a shema b'shema. That's one way of learning the machlokes. And then there's another way of learning the machlokes, that afilu b'bari y'bari. That Sumcha said, chokin afilu b'bari y'bari. I know, I'm telling you, I saw, I know my animals, I know when it gave birth, and I know my animals, I know how it felt out. I know the following. And the other guy says, I know the following. So two radically different approaches in Amar Rabbah, Rav Huna and Rava. What was the machlokes Sumcha's Rabbanan? Was it only Shem v'Shema? Was it even b'bari y'bari? Comes the Re and says, the Gemara in Bava Metzia Daf Kuf didn't want to commit itself one way or the other in this machlokes. That's what the Gemara tries, the Gemara fails. The Gemara didn't want to lock ourselves into either one of these two approaches. That's the reason why the Gemara didn't want to say the magic word Ella. You know why, says the Re? Because lo yitzuya, that the machlokes Sukkos and the Rabbanan is really by Muchsok, you're going to tell me that I'm a Muchsok. And I'm also a bari that I'm a Muslim. I know for a fact that this is my money, this is my shirt. And you're saying, no, I know for a fact that it's your shirt. Would anybody in their right mind ever say chokin? That doesn't make any sense, says the Re. That's crazy. Muhsuk plus bari? Someone's going to say chokin? It's amazing. Moshe, I like your shirt. It's 100% mine. And Moshe says, no, it's not. It's 100% his. According to Sumchus, guess what? I get half the shirt. That's stone. It's Geneva. What in the Shigas is that? But anybody say such a silly thing? Muchsuk with a bari? That's crazy. Moshe's a muchsuk. And he's bari. I'm going to take away his shirt because I'm also screaming bari. What kind of system of halach is that? You want to tell me that muchsuk plus shema, that I can accept. You know why? Because I'm a muhsuk. Really? How do you know you're muhsuk? Well, I think I'm muhsuk. You think you're muhsuk? You think you're muhsuk is not such an ayayay muhsuk. So you want to tell me that moment of mutabasafi choken against the muhsuk, I will only concede if it's a muhsuk with a shema. A muhsuk with a bari is out of the question. So comes the Re and says, that's the answer to the Gemara in Bava Metzia Daf Kuf. The reason why the Gemara did not want to go back to muhsuk and say, Hamani Sumchasi, the other one of the Safi Chokin, even if it's Muchsok, is because the Gemara wanted to keep the window of opportunity open that maybe the Mishnah Bava Metzia Daf Kuf is talking about Bari. And if it's talking about Bari, then it can't be Muchsok. Muchsok and Bari is impossible. Muchsok and Bari for Sumchas is out, is off the charts. So comes the Re and says, when all the dust settles, what's the case of the Machlokes Sumchas and the Rabbanan? What's the answer? Well, one is obvious. Chesmas Marakam. Everyone agrees to. Yosh Pam agreed to that. That's for sure. Is Machlokes Sumchas Rabbanan Bechesmas Marakam? Are they Bari or are they Shema? What's the answer? Well, it depends on the Machlokes Rav and Rav or Avuna, right? So, if in this one case of Chesmas Marakam, where Sumchas Rabbanan are for sure arguing, according to one opinion, talking about Bari, according to the other, talking about Shema, either one is a viable option within the first Machlokes Sumchas Rabbanan, Chesmas Marakam. But once we enter into a second territory of Muchsok, then we become a lot more weary about the Machlokes Sumchas Rabbanan. Then we're willing to say Shema, but to say Bari, that's off the charts, says the Re. Now everything is Amakami of the Shalom, says the Re. All the Gemaras make perfect sense. All the Gemaras that talk about Sumchas Rabbanan arguing, even though there appears to be a Muchsok, don't tell me Maisalach that it's Rabbi Akiva, it's Rabbi Shmuel, with Agams, with stories, with Maises, with the Ra'az. No. They're talking about real Makoi, Muchsuk. So how could Sumchas Chalila go up against Muchsuk? What's the answer? It's a Muchsuk with a what? It's a Muchsuk with a Shema. The only time there was some who claimed that Sumchus argues even in the case of Bari, that's only in the Cheskes Marakama. And that's the Gemara on Daf Kuf. That's when Bavatiya Daf Kuf, the Gemara left out the word Ella. The Rashbam saw in the omission of the word Ella that the Gemara didn't want to tackle Muksuk altogether because the Gemara thought Sumchus never spoke by Muksuk. The Reis says, no, it's not true, my dear uncle, it's not true. The reason why the Gemara didn't want to tackle Muksa because the Gemara didn't want to get sidetracked with Baris and Shemas. The Gemara didn't want to end up in a pickle of a Muksa plus a Bari which Sumchus would agree to. But a Muksa with a Shema, top of Sumchus disagrees. He stands his ground. So it comes out, we have a major machlekes of Rishonim. We have 2 days in Taiz, the Rashbam and the Re. What's the case? What is the Tzir? What is the illustration of the machlekes Sumchus and the Rabban? According to the Rashbam, the machlekes is only Bechesed Marakama. Once you're Muksa, it's over. It's a done deal. Everyone agrees. Muksuk, Sumchus never touches. With a 10-foot pole, he won't touch Muksuk. According to the Re, he'll touch it with a 5-foot pole. He'll touch it. If it's a Shema, then I'm willing to negotiate. Maybe Muksuk doesn't work either. It comes out, according to the Re, to something else that's fascinating now, emanating from the Sugya, according to the Re. We started out by saying we have to identify what the case is. And what's the next thing we have to do? To identify what? Why they're arguing. According to the Re, we just ended up doubling our workload for the second half of the sugya. Because according to the Re, there are two different machloksim, not related necessarily to one another. According to the Re, there's one machlokes sumchus nerabanan. Does chesed marakama mean anything? Sumchus says it's meaningless, it's worthless. Don't waste your time talking about it. And the rabanan said, rah rah rah, chesed marakama is the greatest thing in the world. That's one machlokes. Then there's a second machlokes about muksuk with a shema. The Rabbanan say, so what, it's a Shema? I'm still a Muksuk. And Sumchus says, no. If you'd be a Muksuk with a Bari, then we couldn't touch you. If you're only a Muksuk with a Shema, then we have problems. Then we're willing to negotiate. So according to the Re's razzle-dazzle pshat, because the Re, on the one hand, what caused the Re to this pickle, that there's a double machlekes? He's trying to have everything. He's trying to keep the simple reading of the Gemara's in Mavakam Bim Vav, in Mavakam Bim Rei, in Mavakam Tzadi Zayin, all the Gemara's that seem to indicate that Sumchus is addressing Muksuk also. On the other hand, he doesn't want to go back on the word El. He doesn't have the word El in his Gemara. So he doesn't want to go all the way back to Muksuk and say Sumchus denies Muksuk Megamrei. So the Re just created two different cases. There are two different Machlokes from Sumchus and the Rabbanan. And we have no idea what the Kudus of Machlokes in either of them is all about. So Rabbi Sai, we have two different approaches in the Gedalia we've shown him on the board as of now. What is the Machlokes Sumchus and the Rabbanan? According to the Rashbam, it's only by Chesed Marakama. Don't tell me Muksuf. I don't want to hear about Muksuf. Every Gemara I'm going to give you an answer to. Even Sadi Zayin and Rabbi's Rashbam's going to come up with some kind of answer we don't know. But the Rashbam says, don't touch Muksuf. Once you're Muksuf, nobody disagrees with Muksuf. And the Re says, no. Just because you're Muksuf is not the end of the day. If you're Muksuf with a Bari, that's the end of the day. Then there's nothing to negotiate. Muksuk with a Shema is negotiable, even according to the Re, the Da'as on this. So Rabbi Sai, we can't say that we even finished the first half of the sugya, because we've only identified two opinions in the Rishonim as to what the Machlokes is. We still have another one to go, and then we have to figure out, once we've identified what the Machlokes is, then to figure out why in the world they're having such Machlokes. So we still got plenty of work to do. We barely scratched the surface of Simchus Nirban.